told
this
you all
conference
of me,
will...
that I would train that the book at a future date. Well, I didn't realize how fast it would come in. I had Lydia order it, and sure enough, I got it, and I started reading it, and I'm really enjoying it. So what I'd like to do today is I was planning on reviewing the book in a one-time book review on one Monday call, and as I started getting into the book, the material was so good, I said, there's no way I can do a summary presentation of what's in this book for all of you. I really felt it important that we spend some considerable time on the first couple chapters, at least, because that's really laying the foundation for some of the other things in the book. So what I want to do is today I'm going to go over the first two chapters in the book, Beyond Positive Thinking, by Dr. Robert Anthony. I think there's invaluable information. You're going to see yourself in some of the things that might be keeping you stuck as we go through this. And then what I want to do next week, perhaps either go through, I may try to tackle the rest of the book, but I'll probably do it in three segments. I'll probably only tackle five chapters next week and then five chapters the week after. Sorry for the noise discrepancy. I have a cat that continues to play with the cord that's going to my ear. Anyway, okay, so let's jump in and talk about this book. I'm going to tell you people, I think the book was $29. Some people ask me, do I recommend you buying it? I don't know. I think that there will be enough material in the outlines if you want to stick to that, if you don't want to buy it, but if you really love it that much, you can purchase it. The way he writes the book is very much in a stream of consciousness type of writing, and some people don't do real well with that. They need something more outlined and structured. So if you don't do well in stream of consciousness writing, then I'm not sure this is a book that's going to support you. But you can get it. It's available on over the internet. You can buy it from Amazon or wherever. And he's got a lot of good material in it. Okay, so let's jump in and talk about Beyond Positive Thinking. What is this all about? Well, he starts off right in the beginning welcome section of the book. He makes, of course, many comments, but the one that really stuck out for me was his statement that he said, I will offer you a no-nonsense, practical way to create anything you desire. Now, if all of us could figure that out in our lives, we'd be in a very different place than where we are today. Is that not true? Whether it's with your Manatech business or it's with your life or wherever it might be, but being able to come up with a no-nonsense way of creating anything that we desire is a huge step forward in many of our lives. So come from that perspective and openness of understanding and start looking at, you know, what he has to offer in here as something that really can create phenomenal value in your life, because it's not a how-to book. You know, it brought me back to the Clemmer work over and over and over again as I was going through this book, because he aligns many of his concepts, of course, are concepts that I might have first, you know, been familiar with through the Clemmer work I'd done, but these concepts are universal concepts that have been around for thousands of years. This isn't something that's just new to Dr. Anthony or new to Clemmer, but they're just incredible principles that we need to really grapple with, and that's what I want to do today is start grappling with some of these that some of you may have just kind of brushed over, and another opportunity to look at them more seriously and how they apply to your life. So his chapter one is called Positive Thinking, Negative Thinking, Right Thinking. And it's intriguing to me that Jet said that this is a book he would have written, because one of the things, if you've ever been trained by Jet or heard his tapes or anything, you always know he loves to say attitude is everything. And that's something that I've always disagreed with, but disagreed from a perspective that I know that it's we as human beings are more than just attitude. But Jed had promoted that so often, and yet the first chapter of this book clearly talks about that attitude isn't everything, because attitude is part of positive thinking, and that's positive thinking is your attitude. Coming up with positive attitude and always promoting positive things, yes, critical. I always advise people, I said, stay in the positive, release the negative, don't go south. When you come up with a negative thought, come from solution. You know, resolve that thought, get rid of it, abandon it, and move forward, but come from solution, come from positive all the time. That's what you want to do. But that's not ever going to be enough, because there are a lot of very positive people that don't create anything they ever want in their life. because it's just a matter of what? It's just how you try to frame your brain, how you try to, you know, control that little voice in your head, how you control your thought processes and the way you perceive life. The important thing is what's down deep inside of us, not just, you know, playing that game of positive thinking, positive talk. That's good for programming ourselves, but the real concept comes from within us, our belief systems, what's inside of us, what's in the heart of us. So there's positive thinking, there's negative thinking, which we all know is bad. Anytime you're into negative thinking, you want to cast that aside. You want to use it as to promote yourself to a better place. You know, we learn our lessons from our mistakes. We learn and we move forward. And then there's something called right thinking. And we're going to talk about that today because that's where really this book focuses on kind of a concept of right thinking, not positive thinking or negative thinking, because all of that, again, comes through our set of sunglasses, our belief systems, our programs in our life are all there. All of our thinking is processed through that filtration process. So as he opens up this chapter, he talks about the concept of each of us having the ability to play this game of life with balance, harmony, and joy. But we need to, and some of you can look at that and say, boy, my life isn't full of balance, harmony, and joy. And I'm going to suggest to you, as he does, that it's all by choice. And you have to start owning up to that. That this is all by choice, because every one of us has the ability to play this game of life with balance, harmony, and joy, but we need to know the rules and the principles behind it. And sometimes when we deny the rules of the universe and the rules of the laws that exist, like the law of gravity, you know, if you ignore the law of gravity, it's a law that can kill you, right? I mean, it's a law that can kill you. We have a law of gravity that can, because we understand how the law of gravity works. It's a law, it's a universal law, and it's unchangeable. It's a law that exists, and it's unchangeable. Other laws of the universe that we'll talk about will be, the first one is the fundamental law is called the law of cause and effect. And he really looks at this law. He says, the law of cause and effect is one of the most crucial laws. It's the most fundamental to which all other laws will conform. And the law of cause and effect says that the effect of or result of any situation must be equal to the cause. And we know what the cause is. The cause is always an idea or belief. And I hadn't always looked at the law of cause and effect as always coming from an idea or belief, but it really does, because our action originates with an idea or belief. So our cause comes from an idea or belief. Another way of describing the law of cause and effect is example of, like, as you sow, so shall you reap, that sowing and reaping example. And, of course, sowing, you can say, well, Mary Jo, sowing is an action. Yeah, but the action originated in an idea or a belief. A belief in that we sow, we have a belief around sowing. We have a belief that in order to, you know, provide for my family, I have to sow. I need to get out there and sow. I choose to sow. So it comes from an idea or a belief that we have that creates our action to sow. And as we sow, we shall reap. Or for every action, there's a reaction. Or he puts it in what he calls a modern day context. He says, my ideas are created into my results. Kind of intriguing way of saying it. I'll say that again if you want to write that down. I don't think I put it in the outline. But he said, my ideas are created into my results. Intriguing. Because it really weighs heavy on what are our ideas? What are our beliefs? What are we coming from? What's the foundation of who we are? That's what this is. The ideas or beliefs we carry create our results. Very much, for some of you who have been in the Clemmer work, you know, he talks about intent plus mechanism equals results. And he says intent, which is your commitments you make, are always end up into your results. So, and he works it backwards and forwards. In the Clemmer work, they'll tell you, you know, what results you create in your life are what you intended. So not only do your intentions create the results, but the results reveal what your intentions were. Just as the results you create in your life reveal what your ideas are, what your belief systems are. So law of cause and effect. So start understanding that how we think, how we believe, our belief systems, our ideas are what are creating the results in our life. Not other people, not other things, us. What our ideas are, what our beliefs are, create the results in our life. And the intriguing thing about the law of cause and effect is that the law of cause and effect is really totally impersonal. It's impersonal. In other words, it doesn't just, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a good person or a bad person, a happy person or a sad person, if you're a loving person or you're a non-loving person. It doesn't matter. None of those things play a role in the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect is, and he drew the analogy, he says it's like sunshine. If you stand in the sun, you receive warmth and the healing benefits of the sun's rays and the vitamin D. If you're standing in the shade, it seems like the sun isn't shining on you, but who chose to stand in the shade? Well, same with the law of cause and effect. It occurs every single day of our life. It's going to prove to honor you and lead you in a happy, overwhelming way, or it's going to cause tyranny in your life. It's going to create whatever you feed it to create. And the truth is that many of us are in darkness. We're not in the sunshine. We're not living a positive side of law of cause and effect because of our ignorance around it. And that's his comment. He thinks most of us aren't, just ignore it. We don't understand it. We don't live and work with it. We work around it. We ignore it. And we tend to go into victim status or some other things that we choose. So anyway, so understanding the law of cause and effect is very critical for us, because just like the law of gravity, it can kill you if you misunderstand it. It can rob you of life. He talks about the universe. He says, you know, the universe is like a river. And this is intriguing, because I remember some self-development work I was in, they talked about, are you in the flow? And that's what they are referring to, is that really life is like a river. It's like you're in the flow. The river is going to, you know, this river is going to just keep on flowing. It doesn't care if I'm a good or bad person, a happy or sad person, or the river is going to just keep flowing. So the universe is in a flow, and that people go down the river. Some people go down the river and they're very happy, and you know what? The river doesn't really care whether you're happy or not. It's just going to keep flowing. So we can learn to enjoy the river. We can use it and enjoy it, or we can jump in it and drown. Because again, it's like the law of cause and effect. It's impersonal. It's the universe that we can use it to support us or destroy us. And it's our interpretation of the laws that will determine the effect or the results that we create in our life. Our interpretation and use of the laws that determine the effects or results in our life. One of the other concepts, he says, we only can receive what our minds are capable of accepting, and that's a huge concept for us to get. If our minds are open and capable of accepting, then we can receive. But the intriguing thing about the river is this: the universe, is the abundance of the river is always there and waiting. But we are only able to receive what our minds are capable of accepting. So our consciousness, our ideas, our whole frame of reference and a belief system determine whether we go down this river of life with a teaspoon, a cup, a bucket, or a barrel. It's all based on our consciousness and our ideas and our frame of reference. And that's how we end up in this universe, how we relate to this universe. That's why people talk about the law of abundance, and they talk about abundance is everywhere. You know, money hangs from trees, money's everywhere. But it's only what our minds are capable of accepting can we receive, because the abundance of the river is always there and it's always waiting. So let's start tackling what's holding us back. So if this is our mind, if our minds aren't capable of accepting, what is it about it? What is it about our minds? That, because the real issue here is that, what are our beliefs? And I put a quote in the outline. The truth is that we can have anything we want if we'll give up on a belief that we can't have it. And if you start looking at your life and looking at things that you've accepted in your life and how you've limited yourself, that's what's happening and going on in your life. Anything, we can have anything we want if we'll give up on the belief that we can't have it. I saw that happen just in the Costa Rica trip with some people in my organization. I had some negative people in a coaching group. There was one gal in particular, I don't use names, but, you know, she's been very negative around Manatech and negative about her possibilities, and every phone call and every talk, it always was kind of wah, 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 and I thought, oh my gosh, if she could just hear herself, just listen, just record her phone call to hear herself. And between the coaching and the coaching with Coach Roy and a little the Friday calls and just the challenges laid in front, this woman catapulted from nowhere to winning two or three Costa Rica trips within a short period of time. And it was all about, it had nothing to do with that. The river was flowing. The abundance was in the river. It was just a matter of her mind, shifting her mind, her beliefs around what she's capable of accepting, what she's capable of achieving. And when the minute she shifted that mind, the minute she took on a new belief system around it, look what happened to her and how that. And that's, and I see that happen with people, but it's if it were that easy to do, we'd all be doing it. And therein lies some of the problems that hold us back. Because what happens is we have this set of belief systems that we take on. Our belief systems are based on what? All our experiences in life, everything that's happened to us, all the things. And most of the belief systems that we have are really weren't even chosen by us necessarily, because most of them occur in our early stages of our life. I think the statistic is, and it differs depending on which, you know, psychology books you read and stuff, but they talk about like 80% of your programming that exists by the age of 8 years old, 80% of your beliefs. Now, that doesn't mean you can't shift them. It just means your initial establishment of them, your worthiness, your self-impression, your competitiveness, all these kind of things about you are established early on in your life. Doesn't mean it can't shift. It just means that's where your takeoff point is set up for you early on, because it's your environment, your family life, your parents, all of those influences that cause you to choose certain things, the way you are, the way you react to people, the way you interact, shy or not shy, all these things. But the intriguing thing about this group of beliefs that we grab onto as we're young, that whether the beliefs are true or not really doesn't matter. Whether your beliefs are true or they're totally insane doesn't matter, because this is why. Because if you accept them, then that's what your life is going to be about. Because why again? The law of cause and effect. Cause is always what? An idea or a belief. If your beliefs are coming from a mistaken belief system, a belief set of beliefs, then you're going to continue creating those results in your life, the law of cause and effect. Once you accept an idea, it's an idea whose time has come and there's nothing that's going to stop it. It's accepted. You accept it as fact. You've put it inside you. You've stored it inside you. You know, it's like if you accept the concept of scarcity mentality or lack and limitation. In fact, that's one of the power trainings. It's an idea that's come for us. There's nothing you can do about it. Accept. To have a great awareness about it, and then to make a decision to change the mind. You have to change the mind. So once you plant a seed, it's going to grow, and the only way you can change, you've got to change it. You've got to understand. When you understand that, you know, when you've planted a seed and it's created one thing, you want to create something different, you have to go and change that. The soil will give you the same result until you what? You make a change. And sometimes we have to see the price we pay before we make a change. But that's the idea of what he's suggesting here. We are full of different beliefs and programs running our lives, and until we have the awareness that they're there and controlling us and that they're not serving us, and that we can't choose something more effective. So look at your beliefs that form the groundwork of your life. We're full of different beliefs over the years. We have attitudes, ideas, opinions, conditioning. We're so full of that cause us to dig our heels in and don't, you know, I hear people say, don't tell me anything new. I'm not going to change now. I'm too old to change. All this language, every time I hear that language, my whole body just like wrenches, because it's so sad to me. It's so sad that you can change no matter where you are in life. change can be instantaneous, especially if you have an experience around why your belief system is not serving you, how your belief system is not serving you. You can change on a dime. It doesn't take months and years. You can change that quickly. But the awareness has to be there, and the price you're paying has to be so dramatic or so known to you that you're willing to take on and do something differently. But a lot of people don't want to be told anything because they don't want to be wrong. So we live, it's kind of like, I'll read out of his book. He says, we live with a set of beliefs called religion, a set of beliefs called politics, a set of beliefs about ourselves, a set of beliefs about the kind of people that we like or don't like, and a set of beliefs about everything else. That's our life. And what he's saying, he's not saying these are all wrong. He's just saying that we need to examine them. We need to be in the flow. We need to be examining, are they serving me? Some of them may not have any basis in truth whatsoever, especially for those of you who have self-worth issues that or self-esteem issues. There's no basis, in fact, for any of that. You've created it. You've given a certain fact that occurred a meaning that somehow you're not worthy, and you just hang on to that in your life. It's all a bunch of hogwash, but you're hanging on to it. But again, it doesn't matter if it's true or not, because you know what? You're creating results. It's what's the law of cause and effect. The lack of self-esteem, the lack of self-worth, your belief that you're not worthy somewhere came out of something. You gave something that happened a meaning, and you're carrying it. That kind of stuff robs you of life. You're in the river, but you're not going to carry that bucket with you because you only have a little teaspoon because you're not worthy, because that's what you've implanted in your belief system. So it's intriguing because why do we have to have this belief system? Why do we choose to create all these beliefs about everything? Well, he suggests that all of us form these beliefs because the will to survive and the desire for certainty, I'll tell you this, the desire for certainty are so strong that we create rules about the nature of life and how it unfolds. And the rules become our beliefs. I thought those are incredible. The will to survive and the desire for certainty are so strong that we create rules about the nature of life and how it unfolds. And those rules become our beliefs. And unfortunately, those beliefs can also become our greatest limitations in our life. So we're breaking through that. We can only be successful to the degree we're willing to shed our mistaken beliefs. The problem, we don't think we have any mistaken beliefs because we don't recognize they're mistaken unless we start challenging them and we start trying to rely on something other than the belief systems that we've been formulated with. And some of you are you know, you might be successful. I know I was there. I mean, you know, 10, 15 years ago when I was practicing lawyer and very effective, I thought, what do I need this work for? You know, I love the book, How To's Were Enough, We'd All Be Skinny, Rich, and Happy. I thought it was a terrific book. I learned a lot from it. You know, so I was very successful. So why did I need more work, or why did I, you know? So, but I went anyway because it was the kind of the concept of the unknown. It was stepping into an unknown. Some of you are so afraid of change, very much like my husband. He won't even step into the unknown. He's totally satisfied in his life. Well, exactly where he is there's a, you know, and he's stuck. I mean, he's totally stuck. Great guy, I love him to death, but he's stuck. He's not in a he hasn't been in a green and growing mode for so long. Of course, I shouldn't say that because hard to be around Mary Jo and not be green and growing in some fashion because I'm continue to introduce new things to him all the time. But it's a real challenge for him. Change is a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge for a lot of people. But it's stepping into the unknown and just taking on and saying, you know, I recognize that there are things out there I don't know. And that's what moved me forward, was just the willingness to step into it and say, what could I learn about myself to be a better me? And that kind of investment is so huge, it pays off tenfold, because that's when you can really go out and start impacting other people's lives. So the idea is like uncovering mistaken beliefs, and sometimes it's not, you won't figure that out yourself. And I'm not going to tell you prayer is inadequate here, because that prayer is unbelievably important for us. But I have a lot of really strong Christian friends as well that were stuck. They were stuck in life. They're living limited lives. They're living with belief systems that made them, I can either be this I can either be a good Manitek or be a good mom, but I can't be both. The either or thing. They're playing these games in their heads. They're playing the games of I have to be right. They're playing all these games, these belief systems that just triggered out of, we made them up. I call it made up stuff, you know, and that happens to us. But we need to tackle those mistaken beliefs, the ones that are ineffective. They're not supporting us. Right thinking, let's talk about right thinking. Right thinking, which is based on truth and not illusion, is the foundation that determines the solidity of all other thinking. This is where he focuses. This is where we want to aim and direct ourselves into right thinking. Not positive thinking, not negative thinking, but right thinking. Positive thinking and negative thinking are both filtered through our belief system. Right thinking comes from being aware of the truth or the reality in any given situation. And he makes the comment that knowing the truth sets you free. And how do you find truth in things? He says what you do is you rely on what he refers to as the higher self. Those of us who believe in God, we know the higher self within us, right? Well, the higher self will always reveal truth to you if you're ready to hear it. It's about really listening to that higher self. When you are yourself, when you mean you're allowing the higher self to reveal the truth, every situation, here's a statement he makes. He says, every situation you are involved in will resolve itself perfectly when you allow your higher self to reveal the truth. But we muster all this stuff, all these belief systems, all this stuff that we've aggregated that are the foundation of what we believe, what we think is who we are and what life is all about and all the prejudices and everything, instead of listening to that higher self. So back to that, in any situation, I seek to know the truth, look beyond your current belief system and ask your higher self, what is the truth in this given situation? This is the law of cause and effect in motion. Because why? Because you're allowing yourself to come up with a new idea. Idea creates a result, and those ideas coming from that higher self will help, what, resolve any situation. But we tend to rely on what we know, and for those of you who always, and I can treat myself in here, I had that program or the belief I had to be right. You know, we even had a higher challenge. We had a greater challenge than all, because if you feel you always have to be right, you're going to come from a posture where you're never going to grow. Because if you always have to be right, then you're relying on what you know today, and you're not open to ever growing. And that's a sad thing. And if you're stuck into that program, boy, just I tell you, it really looks, that's one of the toughest programs out there in terms of holding you back. And it doesn't mean you're not going to be successful somewhere, but you're not going to be going down that flow with a bucket. You might have a cup, but you're not going to get all the abundance in life that's there to be had. So the starting point of success, as he points it out, is recognizing that we, as individuals, create our own reality. And if we create our own reality, if you believe something or someone outside of you is the cause of it, then are you believing that you create your own reality? No. And he talks about this as being an extremely limiting factor. If you believe somebody outside of you is creating your reality. Because then when you come from solution, in coming from solution, you're always going to be looking at what? You're always going to be looking outside of you to solve every single problem. And when you look outside of you to solve problems, you're not going to be focusing on where the real issue is. So you've got to be careful in that. You want to make sure that you understand that we create everything in our own lives. So that's an important starting point for all of us. The second law that he talks about is the law of attraction. Like attracts like. Another irrefutable law that operates when you want it and when you don't. Everything you experience in life is invited, attracted, and created by you. And some of you are familiar with this law of attraction because you were familiar with the books that came out all around this and The Secret and all of that that we went through. And that's really what it was about, the law of attraction. Like attracts like. The mind attracts whatever it's familiar to. So that means if you come from a frightened state, you're going to attract frightening experiences. A confused mind attracts more confusion. The abundant mind attracts abundance. So where's your mind today? A scarcity mind attracts scarcity. So it makes a lot of sense for us to be fully aware of what's going on in our subconscious thought patterns that's controlling our lives. And if you understand subconscious, you're going to understand that your subconscious is there just basically to say, oh, prove that whatever your conscious is doing is right. It's kind of on autopilot. As Clemmer says in his work, he says, your subconscious, your number two, always says, you'll say, oh, I'm not worthy. And what does your subconscious say? What does your number two say? It says, okay, that's the only word. In fact, that's how Clemmer talks about it. Your subconscious only ever is in agreement. It's okay. It's on autopilot. So what does that occur for you? For some of the people out there in Manatech today, they think right now business is bad. And they think, well, look at the economy's downturn. No one has any money. There's no opportunities out there. Well, you know what happens? Your subconscious, whenever new opportunities appear, your subconscious says, okay, those are new opportunities. There aren't any out there. It's agreeing with your consciousness. It's going to shut you down. If that's where all your ideas are going to come from, your subconscious, like attracts like from a subconscious level, if you feed it garbage, what's it going to give you back? Garbage. So you need to throw that aside. You have to start saying, I want my creative powers working overtime. We want our creativity to create anything that you want in life. You have to get out of our ignorance around it. We have to stop limiting it. We have to start opening up to allowing it to create whatever is out there to be created. So we just need to be more open and responsive and receptive to it, not get out of resistant. We tend to be resistant. We want to make excuses and make reasons and rational why my business isn't working. And you come up all these reasons and rational. And what you're doing is just feeding your subconscious. And your subconscious just keeps going, okay, business is bad. Okay, Manatech's not doing well. Okay, I can't find new associates. Okay, it's too hard. I don't know where do I find people. There's no places to find new people to sign up. Okay, you listen to what you're feeding your subconscious all day long. Garbage, garbage, garbage. And what are you going to attract? The same garbage, because that's what's going to come back. So what you need to do is you need to stop feeding the subconscious all that stuff, because your subconscious is what makes all your decisions for you. When you see a new opportunity out there, your subconscious is going to tell you, oh, no, it's not going to work. It's not going to. What do you think makes that happen? When somebody says something to you and says, well, why don't you try this? And you go, oh, that's not going to work. Where's that coming from? It's coming from your subconscious. Your conscious mind doesn't even wrap around it. It hasn't even wrapped around the idea yet. Your subconscious is feeding you back garbage you fed it. Someone presents a new effort. Let's go and do this. Let's try this. Why don't we try to do this? Oh, no, that won't work. Subconscious, once again. Subconscious. It's on autopilot. You're on autopilot. Everything you do is on autopilot. Because that's what's making your decisions for yourself. You're not tapping into your creative side. You're not allowing yourself to be open to whatever the universe has to offer. Free flowing. Open it up. You're in that river, remember. The universe, a river. Don't show resistance to it. Flow with it. Flow with it with your bucket. Don't flow with your teaspoon. So release the resistance. Get out of judgment. Come from something new. You know, to think is to create. That's the opening premise of all the Clemmer work. To think is to create. Very much what this guy's saying in his book, Dr. Anthony. Very much the same thing. We understand that choice begins when you stop identifying with conditioned patterns of the past. So quit coming from possibility and come from probability and come from possibility. Is it possible? Is it possible for you to get to presidential director in the next 12 months? Yes. Is it probable based on your last 6 years in Manatech? No. But stop letting your past control your future. You're in resistance in the flow. You're not opening yourself up to the possibilities. You're basing your life all on probabilities because you're somehow grappling with the idea that your past has to control your future. Not. And understand when you make choice, when you start making choices, when you start free-flowing and making some choices, is there going to be some out-of-comfort experiences? Unquestionably. Is there going to be discomfort? No question about it. In fact, a lot of times there's going to be some anger by you because you're going to start thinking you're wrong. When you do breakthroughs, when I had my major breakthroughs, and I continue to have them, but I had one when I did the PM 2 weeks ago. I mean, I have breakthroughs. It's fun because you go. It's what gets you unstuck in life. There's a tremendous joy about finding a roadblock in your life because the release of it, the freedom you have post roadblock. So get rid of the roadblocks. If you don't like something in your life, then tackle it. Anytime you say to yourself, well, that's just the way I am, that's a red flag. That's a gigantic red flag. Boom, write that down and start tackling it because that's an area that is, you're just making a statement. You're just being that, you're on autopilot. That's just the way I am. That is so autopilot, it makes me throw up. It's not the way you are. It's how you're choosing to be because you're choosing not to evaluate and dig deep on what is the belief system behind that and how do I shift? How do I shift? How can I reprogram that? Your life is an ever-changing canvas. You're the one choosing to paint it. And you could set the paints down and move forward in life and never pick them up again. Or you can pick up those paints and you can paint white sheet. You can cleanse it white as snow. And then start painting all over again. It's your choice. There's a great story about the elephant story. And some of you understand it, that they put these little baby elephants, and when they get baby elephants, what do? They chain them down. And they chain these elephants down. With a chain around their leg and it tied to a long metal stake. And the baby elephants, they learn quickly that they can only pull so far and they have to stop because the resistance tells them they just can't pull the stake out of the ground. Well, the funny thing is that eventually the day will come when the baby elephant, they stop tugging and they never try to pull again. But when somebody replaces the metal stake with a wooden one because they know the elephant's been so conditioned, they can never get away. They were so conditioned by their belief system that they never will allow themselves to go beyond. And that's really what happens to us, too. We get a metal stake in our lives. We get metal stakes in front of us by our parents, by our environment, by our surroundings, by things we just took on, by something somebody said to us one time in our life and we started believing it. I saw that this weekend. I'll tell you a cute story. Some of you might relate. It's so funny. My little grandson, I have a grandson who's 8 and one that's 5, just going to turn 5. And they both play baseball. And they were playing baseball. The 8-year-old was out there and he was playing baseball on Saturday and he let a ball go through his feet. You know, he just misplayed the ball. It went through both of his legs, you know, right through him out into the outfield. And when they got done with the game, his little brother goes up to him and said, "Oh, don't worry about that, Jack. When you get older and you're not so dumb, you won't make those mistakes." That's a 5-year-old telling an 8. Now imagine, what if that 8-year-old took that as being true? A statement his little brother made, because he didn't know, I mean, that's the best he could come up with. He wasn't trying to accuse him. He was trying to make his brother feel better. That he doesn't have to worry about this because as he gets older and he isn't so dumb, he's not going to make those mistakes. You know, he's just trying to be a nice kid. He's awkward. You know how the funniest things kids say. But if Jack takes that into his head and says that he's dumb and lives with that the rest of his life, what is he doing? But see, that's what happens to us. We take on those silly belief systems that just rob us of what we get out of life. So you want to stay away from allowing those things to cause us to be stuck. What stakes in the ground do you have that are holding you back? What limiting beliefs have you hung on to? We all have them, and we have tons of them because they're all around all those different aspects of our life. He said, unfortunately, the majority of people on this planet feel stuck. When we look at the world and see the suffering, misery, and impoverishment, when we look and see so many well-intentioned people doing without, the world looks insane to us. We see people giving up, believing that they have to take from others in order to have anything for themselves. Rarely do we look within for the answer to this confusion. Rarely does the individual really look to see what the rules of life are. So what happens is that our ignorance of ourselves and our life, we hassle, fight, and strain to get what we want, and it ends up not working anyway. It's crazy. Our life doesn't work because we accepted false beliefs, mistaken understandings in life. So we don't want to live our life of ignorance. We want to play the game of life. How are you playing it? You can look at your life and see how you're playing your life and start writing down where you're stuck because you can see how you're playing your life. There's always a huge benefit to choosing differently. There's always a huge benefit to choosing the way you're choosing it. If you're choosing a weak game, you're going to find other people have to love you and have to take care of you and protect you. Oh, there's a benefit. So you're playing life weak. You'll get attention that way. If you play the game of life being undecided all the time, then great, you'll get other people to decide for you, and then you'll be protected from blame because you won't ever make a mistake. In other words, you can keep both hands tied behind you, and then you can expect someone to take care of you. In playing a helpless routine like that, you're actually controlling others. Because the power of powerless people is unbelievably remarkable. They are good at making others play the part that they have written for them. You're robbing from everyone else. So it's time we step up and we start playing a bigger game. Your unlimited power lies in your ability to control your thoughts, and that is huge, and that's what we need to recognize. Your mind will sell you out, but your intuition never will. So we need to learn how to rely. How do we rely on our intuition? The only way we can truly heal the world is to heal ourselves first. And here's how he concludes chapter 1. Your life is important. It is important to you, and it is important to the rest of the people on this planet. I believe that every person on this planet arrived here with a mission. If you will listen to your intuition, your purpose or your mission will be revealed to you. Let's jump in and talk about the second chapter. Well, I know I'm running late. Sorry, you guys. I didn't even bring my watch out today, or I'd probably be more effective on my time. So let's finish this off and try to get through chapter 2 in 5 minutes. I don't know. We'll try. But if we look at chapter 2, he talks about the truth about you, and this chapter is really important as well, because who are you anyway? That's a big question. How do you form your own self-image? And we have to start looking at self-image. How do we tackle our self-image? The self-image we choose either allows us to be happy and successful, or it tyrannizes our lives. The blueprint in our mind is not who we are, but who we think we are. That's gigantic. It's really huge. But again, just like our belief systems, whether they're true or false doesn't really matter, because the perception is more powerful than reality. Our perception is more, and what we accept as true is more important than what is reality, because it's what's running our life. The important thing that we need to understand, here's the secret of the ages, and just circle that and underline it in your outline under 2, the truth about you, 2A. The secret of the ages, at the being level, your higher self, you are spiritually whole, complete, and perfect. And I think some of you ought to take that and put it on as an affirmation that you read every single day in your life. At my being level, my higher self, I am spiritually whole, complete, and perfect. And how do I know that? I know that because as a Christian, I know God created me in his likeness. I am like God. He is whole, he is complete, and he is perfect. And I'm created in his likeness, so I have that same within me. Just as a drop in the ocean has the qualities of all the qualities of the entire ocean, you have all the qualities of the Creator. And we can't destroy this higher self that's within us. What we need to do is we need to start recognizing that it is who we are and learn to channel it through our thoughts. And my question to you is today, is this called surrender? See, we always want to be in control, and we're not willing to surrender. We're not willing to channel our thoughts through this higher self, this higher beingness within us that is what? Spiritually whole, complete, and perfect in every one of us. And he talks about the gap between who we are and what we do is created through our ignorance. He has an exercise in the book that I think is kind of good, and it just right now, if you just took the time, we don't have time, but take the time today and question, ask yourself, I know that who I am is spiritually perfect. Now listen to the little voice in your head. If you make the statement, I know that who I am is spiritually perfect, what did the little voice in your head immediately say? For most people, it'll go, oh, no, I'm not. The affirmation of perfection threatens what we call our ego. Our ego immediately sends back the response, what do you mean you're perfect? Come on now, take a look at yourself. Look at the way you treat other people. Remember what you did yesterday or just today, this morning, as your husband was leaving for work. You're always complaining. What about the way you treat your mother, your father, your boss, your mate? How about the way you treat yourself? Remember that terrible thing you did back in so-and-so? This is your ego that's doing that. Isn't that amazing how our ego... We always think of our ego as being a sense of arrogance, but our ego is about admission about who we are and the strength of who we are and what we do, and it's not going to allow you to be wrong. Your ego kind of overwhelms you with all this information that it carries. So your ego tries to trick you. The ego tries to trick you from saying, I know that who I am is spiritually perfect. The ego tries to trick you. It tells you all sorts of things. It tries to identify with you, all your actions, make you feel guilty, all these things. So you need to learn how to control that ego, and the number one way to control your ego is to love yourself, neutralizing the ego. The bottom line is this. If we cannot accept ourselves, that we are worthy and deserving, then we cannot accept that other people are worthy and deserving and will therefore be in judgment of them all the time. We must become what? Worthy and accepting. Of ourselves first. We need to love ourselves first. You cannot love someone else until you love yourself. So we look at ourselves, how we created ourselves, and we built ourselves. We're responsible for ourselves. We built ourselves, we built our character, we built our traits, our manners, our ways of talking, and you could say, no, Mary Jo, I didn't build all that. My mother, I didn't, and sure, people influenced you. You picked up different pieces from different people in your life, there's no question, and you did a lot of it subconsciously, not really even consciously. But you know what? You still made the choices. So what we need to do today is look at ourselves and see those choices that we made about our characters, our mannerisms, our ways of talking, even the ways of thinking and believing. And almost every one of them we've either borrowed, imitated, or made our own. And all we need to do is do what? Go into rejection. Don't ever reject yourself in any way, shape, or form. Never reject yourself. Just make choices to be better. How you see yourself creates your behavior, and this behavior creates your environment or your results. So the core of right thinking starts with how we see ourselves, correcting that. How we see ourselves. We need to release the past. We know that. If we carry the past forward, we carry resentment, resistance, we carry anger, unforgiveness, it destroys us. I challenge you today, whatever you resent, to get rid of today. Whoever you resist, to resolve it today. Don't carry it one more moment in your life. It's destroying you. And I think one of the cute comments you made in here is, whatever you resent is a statement of what you lack. Isn't that incredible? Whatever you resent is a statement of what you lack. So some of you are out there and you're quiet people and you resent people who are loud and outgoing. What do you lack? Being outgoing. There's zillions of people out there with no money and they resent people who have money. What do they have lack of? Money. And they'll come up with all sorts of reasons why they resent them. And I'll guarantee you one thing, you'll never be effective in Manatech, and you'll never get the presidential if you resent people with money, because you're resenting what you're trying to achieve, and there's a conflict that you set up. When you get to presidential, you're going to make a lot of money, and you better figure out what you're going to do with it. But you don't have to resent money. Money's just dirty paper. You might resent what some people are doing with the money they have, but don't resent money. Money's not the root of all evil. The love of money is. Pleasing other people, he talked about, which we know, you know, making other people like you. I love that book. What other people think of me is none of my business. How do you treat yourself? It's incredible that many of us are afraid to meet our inner selves. A lot of you are afraid to do self-development work. You don't want to step out and do that because you think you may not like what you see. Well, as he put it in there, it was intriguing to me. He said, but it's impossible to fear the truth about ourselves because fear is caused by resistance to the truth and by misunderstanding it. So by stepping into understanding it and not being resistance to truth is impossible to fear. So he begs us all in this chapter 2 to get on our path of self-discovery. Start looking at things, look at the process. We are forever in work in process. I totally agree with that, as I am as well. Everything you learn about yourself is great news. And as I said to you earlier, every single time I've come to ahas about myself, I've always been exhilarated. I've been angry at times because it starts with anger that I missed this, or how did I go so long in my life not knowing this? But then it blossoms into a sense of just incredible gratification that I've arrived and on this new aspect of my life. I'm understanding something that I didn't have control of before. Now I can get it. And it doesn't always stay with you, really. I mean, you got to really work on it because you can't just overcome it like on a drop of a hat. It's something that'll pop up because it's been with you a while. But you can really grab onto new belief systems, take on new programs and new beliefs that are effective for you. Self-worth comes from self, so don't focus on others. Yeah, focus on yourself. You are the one of authority, no one outside you. If you allow others to do it for you, they will do it to you. I like that comment. If you allow others to do it for you, they'll do it to you. And why do you want to change the world? You know, we stand out here, we want the boat to dock, we want to change the world. Whatever is going on in our lives, it's not changing the world, people, because when you want to change the world, you want to blame the world for everything that's happening in your life, and that's not what's going on. People and events merely trigger feelings that are already in you. Whatever is going on in our heart is fundamental alignment with the outside experiences. So what we need to do is figure out what's going on in our heart and fundamentally change some of those things, and that's what changes. It's kind of the statement I'd make in my pathway class. You know, you want to have new discoveries, you don't need to go new places, you need a new set of eyes. It's internal. And she gave a great statement in here. I kind of laughed because I said, this sounds like Lydia. I'm almost done, so hang, bear with me. He talked about, imagine an unhappy person sitting at home stating, I want to change my life. The person redecorates their house. Then he finds himself just as unhappy as before, so he redecorates several times. How many times can you redecorate your house before you become happy? An infinite amount, because the way your environment is isn't what's going to make you happy. You know people who believe that they can change their level of happiness by changing their exterior scenery? Isn't that incredible? If you'll be totally honest with yourself and take a good look at what's going on in your life, you'll discover what is actually happening. You can change the outer effect, but what has to be changed is going to be the inner causation. And that's why we need to work on self. The process of self-evaluation is a very good path of finding yourself. Who are you? The mechanical thinking process cannot rise above its own limited level. So let me finish with the last paragraph in this chapter. The truth about you is that you're not what you have and you're not what you do. You are spiritually whole, complete, and perfect. And your success and happiness in life will be in direct proportion to your ability to accept this truth about yourself. Okay, people, that's the end of chapter 1 and 2. Hopefully you got something out of that material. I thought it was a little heavy and heartfelt and wanted to make sure I didn't try to cover too much, although I could have done one half of one chapter in one call, but I wanted to also make it through the book. I hope this gets exciting to you. Take on this newness. Re-listen to the call today if you need to. Go back and look at your notes and start on a new path. Today's the first day of the rest of your life, and I know you all have incredible power within. All right, love you all. Have a great week.